Friends, during this Lenten season, we've been focusing on the theme of the conflict and opposition that Jesus encountered in the course of his ministry. It's the background to all of the gospel story, really, because if we fail to appreciate that reality about how Christ's ministry was received, then we fail to see what was happening. And this morning we get to the matter of the disciples, the inner core, the center of those gathered around him. Now, they weren't openly hostile to him, of course. They were people who embraced his messiahship. But there was a reality about the limitations of their ability and willingness to hear what Jesus was saying to them. Though they believed that this was the Lord's own Messiah with whom they were associated, when Jesus began to talk of how his life and ministry would conclude, they just couldn't accept it. And, of course, this inability of the disciples to accept what Jesus was telling them only added in its own way to the conflict and opposition that Jesus encountered. Now, I don't intend this as a condemnation of the disciples. It's just a part of the picture that really happened. And I don't condemn them because of when I put myself in their place, I understand. It didn't seem, you see, that these things could unfold in the manner in which Jesus was declaring. It didn't seem that it could all end that way. Even though he did speak of resurrection, it seemed so inappropriate that this should be the way that the Lord's ministry and his life would conclude. And I understand, because we sometimes struggle with issues of faith, and we know how the story ended. And they were living in the midst of the turmoil of the times. So it's not to condemn them, but to learn from the reality of their situation that I take us into this realm. Because when we think about this inability of the disciples to understand how Christ's ministry would unfold, we see, or begin to see, the challenges that this brought to him. You see, they couldn't walk with him and encourage him and support him as he talked about things they didn't even accept could ever possibly happen. And so, though they were his disciples, they were, in their own way, part of the non-receptive world when it came to this aspect of his ministry. They couldn't be there for him in the way that they might have had they believed and had they accepted his testimony as to what was about to happen. Furthermore, they were in confusion. Because they didn't believe that things could unfold in the way that Jesus said they would, they were overwhelmed by what was happening around them. Somehow it seems that they expected that there would be a great turn of public sentiment and that people would begin to embrace and accept what Jesus was telling them, and that wasn't happening. In fact, as Christ's ministry progressed, the opposition intensified, and the disciples were confused. Despite what they had been told. And as a consequence, they couldn't really work together. They couldn't commit to a plan of action because they didn't accept his word. They also, you see, as a consequence, couldn't really provide a supportive testimony to the world because Jesus knew how events were about to come to pass, and they were resistant to accepting that. And so they left Jesus alone, all by himself, to struggle with the opposition, which somehow they believed would just melt away. And now think of it. From Jesus' perspective, if we dare or can, these were the individuals into whose hands was to be entrusted the continuation of the story. And they really didn't get it yet. Think about, from a human perspective, the anguish that would cause you if you, you know, had selected a group of people to further a cause with you and you knew that you were going to have to leave it in their hands. And they didn't understand. And that was part of the atmosphere as our Lord Jesus Christ made his journey to Jerusalem. There, he knew he would face the final moments of conflict when accusers would array themselves against him, and he would be executed. And yes, that he would rise from the dead. But if, you see, the disciples couldn't even quite accept that it was thinkable that he would be executed, then the account about resurrection didn't really matter very much. And that was the circumstance of our Lord. And when we read the gospel accounts of those final days of his life, we have to do so understanding that this was the surrounding context in which he experienced those final days. That even those to whom the word had been most personally entrusted were yet unable to really fully accept what he was saying. And of course, it's really made clear in Matthew 16 There, Jesus is telling his disciples once again about these things in preparation for their approach to Jerusalem in the coming days. And, you know, that ever-present spokesperson for the disciples, Peter, rose up and said, God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you. And Jesus had to rebuke him and to tell him that this was not a helpful response. In fact, he rebukes Peter in very stern terms. Get behind me, Satan. Now, he is really saying, you see, that Peter's response comes not from the Lord, but from Satan. And he said to Peter, you are a stumbling block to me. You are not setting your mind on divine things, but on human things. And the disciples, of course, I'm sure gathered off in little clusters and said, what do we do now? Now, the solution was not accomplished in human terms. How did this get turned around? How did these disciples who had been with Jesus throughout his ministry, and who at this critical stage, this final days, how did they get from their hesitation to believe what he was telling them to the point of faith? We know what happened, but how was it achieved? It was not because the disciples all suddenly got together and decided they'd been a little stupid or unhearing. What really happened, you know, was Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. As Jesus had promised that his followers would be blessed by the presence and power of the Spirit, it was not until Pentecost that the disciples clearly began to understand. Oh, of course, they lived through events of tragedy at the crucifixion. They, with some hesitation, came on board at the news of the resurrection. But they were still somewhat confused, as after the Lord's ascension, they were left to move on their own. And then Pentecost. God's promised Spirit descended upon them. Now, the intriguing thing about Pentecost is, you know, that this same Peter, who was there saying, Lord, these things can never happen to you, read Acts 2. He preached a powerful sermon, inspired, enabled by the Holy Spirit. He had come to an understanding that yes, not only was this true, but this was the way, in fact, that it had to be. That's quite a turnaround. And it was that outpouring of the Spirit that equipped and enabled the disciples to move forward with what they had received from the Lord's lips and had seen with their eyes in the course of his ministry, and to go forward with a powerful testimony to share with the world. Now, this isn't just about history. This is also about us. We're often like the disciples. There are some lessons we have to learn, and probably relearn and relearn in the course of our Christian lives. I would sum them up for us this morning in three words. Listen, trust, and believe. You know, the disciples were having a hard time listening, because what was being said to them was so conspicuously clear, it's hard to imagine. But somehow, they weren't listening. They were acting on their preconceived notions of what could be and what couldn't be. And they weren't listening to what Jesus was saying. And of course they heard the words. But because they weren't really listening, they couldn't trust. And the believing part only could flow when they had absorbed what the Lord was telling them and trusted it as His word, and then acted in faith in the way that His word led them. And here we are living the faith out, generations and centuries later, and in our own ways we go through the same process, you know. How often we don't understand what God is doing. How many times do we in the course of life say quietly, Lord, what's it all about? How do I make sense out of this? And the solution, the appropriate response from us, of course, is that we also learn to listen, to trust, and recommit ourselves to believe. Our human wisdom doesn't usually get us to the right destination, unaided by the power of the Spirit. Like the disciples, we get caught because God's ways are often so very different from ours. Our human approach to things, our we'll solve it ourselves solution. And the word invites us to listen, to trust, and to believe. And so I encourage you to take into this Palm Sunday Easter season this context for the time and the experience that Jesus was going through. He was alone. He was alone because those in power opposed him. He was alone because, of course, there were those who believed he was the Messiah, but basically, like the disciples, hadn't yet grasped what that involved. And so, alone, he faced the scorn, the opposition, the mocking, the brutality, the death on the cross. And we need, as we go through those accounts, to understand our Lord's place taken willingly on our behalf. And then pray that God will keep us on board and help us as we struggle to listen, and would encourage us as we work at trusting the word and would empower us as believers to share the word in the world. In one sense, this is kind of a sad and difficult story that our Lord should go through his ministry and then end up so abandoned at the end. But it is a story also of triumph and resurrection. It's a story of resurrection and Pentecost. It's a story of untrusting disciples, by the grace of God, becoming powerful voices for the way of Jesus Christ in the world. Ultimately, when you make it to the end, this is good news. Thanks be to God. Amen.